Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. What's on your mind today? Let us know. Let us talk about it right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. Folks, we're new covenant believers, and boy,
indeed,
we really need to understand what that means, because there is so much confusion out there in the world today, and we need to get this right. If this Christian life is going to make sense to us, if we're going to learn how to live in the fullness of God's grace and really enjoy the abundance of His life in and through us, we have to settle this issue. We have to come to understand that we're not in the old, we are in the new covenant. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. He says he has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. Now, Paul was an old covenant guy.
I mean,
that's where he derived his identity. He was everything Moses and the law and the Ten Commandments and the ceremonial law. All of that defined the Apostle Paul, and when Jesus came on the scene and disrupted that, and that's what the gospel does, it disrupts us. It is one disruptive force. I mean, it ticked Paul off.
Yeah.
He didn't want to give up that old identity, but then he met Jesus, and everything changed. That encounter on the Damascus Road changed everything for Paul. And so in that encounter, he realized his own sinfulness. And he came to grips with what God was all about from the very get-go in sending Jesus, preparing a people to receive the Messiah so that they could have everlasting life and a genuine place in the people of God. And so Paul became the champion of that gospel, of that truth. He took it around the world. And what he took was not old covenant, but new covenant. Mm-hmm. Why? Because that's the covenant that we live in today. And he gives some further explanation. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. So the new covenant isn't about laws written on tablets of stone. Again, that was old covenant stuff. This new covenant is about the Spirit of God. Now, the old written covenant ends in death. And so when Jesus died, guess what happened? That old covenant ended at the death of Jesus Christ. But under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. So what do we receive when we receive Jesus? Life. New life. We're made alive together with Christ. So we're no longer under the condemnation of the law of sin and death. We've been released from that, set free by the law of the Spirit of life. And so we do life as believers in this new covenant. So this new covenant needs to shape our thinking, our wills, our actions, everything about us. Now, why do we mention this? Well, because this month we're going to be talking about new covenant giving.
Mm-hmm.
This is one area where confusion reigns.
Yes.
There is so much confusion out there in Christianity about giving. Now, most people believe that they are required, obligated to give and not give, to be taxed, basically, 10% of their income to a local church. That's the way God laid it out for us in the Old Testament, and by golly, we need to do that. Well, I think that gives us some clues. It's Old Testament. It's part of the law. Well, when Jesus died, he put an end to the law and ushered in a new covenant. So the priesthood changed, the law has changed. So we need to look at giving in a whole new light. We need to look at it through the lens of the new covenant. Now, we've had people call us through the years. I remember a lady, it was one of the saddest calls we've ever received at Basic Gospel. And she was distraught in spirit. And the reason she was distraught is because her husband had passed away. Both were elderly, But she was distraught because God did not answer her prayer. And she said, we've prayed, we went to church, we tithe. And because we tithe, we believe that God was obligated to heal my husband. And he didn't, so we're mad at him.
Yeah.
Now, why was she giving in order to get her husband healed? Mm-hmm. That's not new covenant giving. That is an old covenant mindset. That's a negotiation. That's a contract. That's not grace. We live in the grace of God. And we have to realize in this new covenant, we have every spiritual blessing in Jesus. We've already been given every spiritual blessing in Jesus. Peter says that we've been given everything that we need for life and godliness. So if you're giving to get, it means you don't know what you have in Jesus Christ. It means that you are still functioning with an old covenant mindset. And folks, you are going to rob yourself of the joy of true new covenant giving, of true new covenant life. So we need to realize that we're in this new covenant, and we need to let this new covenant truth just push out every ounce of legalistic thinking that's in us. And what is legalistic thinking? We do something in order for God to bless us. So it's a works-based idea.
Yeah.
So we give in order to be blessed. We give in order to get. That is old covenant thinking, and it is confusing you. It is confusing people. It's time to stop it and to get fully in this new covenant, to make the declaration that we are, that I am a new covenant believer, and from this day forward, I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to lead me in all aspects of life by His Spirit. And that includes giving the new covenant way.
Talk to our listeners a little bit about the booklet that we have called Giving the New Covenant Way.
We have a fabulous little resource. It is free. All you have to do is go to our website, request a copy, or call our number, 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. But this is a little booklet that asks the question, do we need to tithe as New Covenant believers?
Yeah.
It looks deeply at the tithe and all the passages in the Old Covenant, and it looks at this New Covenant in which we live today and the grace of giving. It is really a fabulous resource. I read again through it this morning, and I thought, wow, this is really good. People need this.
Yeah.
And so we're going to put it in your hands, and all you have to do is call 844-322-2742 and request your copy of Giving the New Covenant Way. We will send it to you as quickly as possible.
I think the story of your friend Mark on the first couple of pages, if that's not impetus enough for people to take a new look at the old traditional way of giving, well, I don't know what's going on with that, because his life was revolutionized by this truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, friends, we have an open line for you right now. If you're hearing the live broadcast in the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open. Again, 844-322-2742. Now, that little booklet, Giving the New Covenant Way, is one of two resources that we're calling your attention to during the month of November. If you have received the life of Jesus Christ, you have everything you need for life and godliness, and friends, you have it right now. In a CD message by that same name, Bob digs deep into 2 Peter chapter 1 to reveal the power and promises you have in Christ and how that through them you can participate in His divine nature. We'd love to send you a copy today as our way of saying thank you for your support during the month of November. Request your copy when you make your gift to support Basic Gospel. You'll find all the ways to make that gift when you visit the website basicgospel.net or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. We would love for you to partner with us.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go and talk with Jose in just a second, but I want to make one last point about giving the new covenant way, on our YouTube channel, the most watched video that we have on our YouTube channel is a video entitled, Is Tithing Required in the New Covenant? And why is that? Because people are so confused on this subject. This is one area where we're trying to mix old and new, where most people are trying to mix old and new. And I guarantee you, I don't know what the percentage of churches would be, but I guarantee it's high, that on this subject of giving, they are teaching tithing. They are mixing old and new. It's time to stop, and let's all get on the same new covenant page and be able to actually excel in the grace of giving.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, where you hear that good news every day, and we appreciate the fact that so many of you call and write to us and pose a question. That was true of Jose, who called off hours. Let's listen to this call right now.
Hi, my name is Jose from Miami. I had a question regarding Acts chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. It talks about the Apostle Philip preaching the gospel to a group of Samaritans and them believing and being baptized in the name of Jesus, but not receiving the Holy Spirit until it was imparted to them by the laying of the hands of other apostles. I just wanted to see how you all interpreted that. Thank you.
Good question.
Very good question and very well articulated. So, Jose, thanks for calling Basic Gospel. We appreciate hearing from you. And this is one of my favorite topics to talk about. Yeah. You can just press my go button and, boy, I'll just go forever on this particular subject. But if you look at the book of Acts, you see three important events happening in the book of Acts. And it's all centered on one important event, and that's the giving of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people for acts of service, but the Holy Spirit never indwelt anyone until the day of Pentecost. And the way the book of Acts is laid out, that the Holy Spirit first went to the Jew. And so on the day of Pentecost, we see Jewish people there gathered for that festival, hearing the Apostle Peter speak about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And pricked to in their heart, they ask, what shall we do? And he tells them, and when he does, they believed and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we see that. And then in Acts chapter 8, we see this same gift of the Holy Spirit going out to Samaritans. Now, Samaritans were hated people by the Jews. Right. There was no love lost between those two people groups. And so, but God always had in mind that the Samaritans would receive the Holy Spirit in exactly the same way the Jews did. And so when Philip went to Samaria and started preaching to them about Jesus, they believed in Jesus' name, and they were baptized into Jesus' name. Word spread, got down to Jerusalem, and so Peter and John went there. And they witnessed what was going on, and then they laid hands on the Samaritans, and the gift of the Holy Spirit was given. So what did Peter do at that particular moment? He actually took the key to the kingdom that Jesus had given him in Caesarea Philippi, that great story when Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, I'm giving to you the keys of the kingdom. Well, in Jerusalem, that day of Pentecost, Peter used that key to unlock the door of the gospel for the Jews. And the Holy Spirit was given here in Samaria. He used that key and unlocked the door, and the Holy Spirit was given to the Samaritans. Two chapters later, he's going to be in Caesarea by the sea. He's going to go into a house, a Gentile house, owned by Cornelius the centurion, and he's going to tell them about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he's going to use the key, and he's going to unlock the door for the Holy Spirit to come to the Gentiles. So this is simply the story of the gospel door being opened to the Samaritan people and them receiving the gift of God's Spirit. So for the Jews, Peter simply preached, and they asked, what do we need to do? And he says, believe and receive. And so they did, and the gift came. Here they had already been baptized in the name of Jesus. Peter simply confirmed what had happened, and the gift of the Holy Spirit was given through the laying on of hands. That's how it happened in Samaria. And then in Cornelius's household, Peter just simply was speaking, and all of a sudden this outpouring of the Spirit happened, and they received. And so in Acts 15, Peter said, they've all received the gift of God's Spirit in exactly the same way, by grace through faith in Jesus. Some of the details of how that took place, manifested, were a little bit different, but it was still the same event to three different people groups. So we don't need to look at Acts 8 and say, hey, you know, somebody believes and receives Jesus, and then through the laying on of hands, they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. That's not how it works. Why? Because God is one, and when God comes to live inside of us, that's Jesus coming to live inside of us. That's the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us. We have the whole Godhead in us. And so you don't receive one part of them to come and live inside of you one day, and then the next part of them the next day or months later or that sort of thing. So there's no validity. There's no underpinning through this particular passage to suggest that we receive the Holy Spirit at a subsequent time.
Yeah, one of the things I love about this story is that before Jesus ascended, he says, just hang in there and wait, because the Spirit is coming. And then you will be my witnesses. Mm-hmm. You're going to get to watch me do what only I can do. And he did it for the Jews, then he did it for the Samaritans, then he did it for the Gentiles. And all along, Peter, in particular, is just trying to keep up. What are you doing today, Lord?
Yes, absolutely.
And, it wasn't Peter doing anything special. Peter is there with John a couple of times, and by himself the third time. Peter is there to record the event, to be the witness, to see what God is doing. I mean, God's breaking out everywhere. And Peter gets to go along on that ride. And then, thanks to Luke, we get to come along on that ride ourselves.
Right. And Peter had to be there. He had to be there to witness this. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God said it.
Yes.
This is how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, once the door was open to all of those different people groups, then anyone, anywhere, when they receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit just jumps on them and in them right then and there.
Yes.
That's just what happens. So the moment you believed, guess what? The Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, just as it did in the book of Acts, mm-hmm. in these three great stories.
Jose, hope you're listening, and hope that's a tremendous help to you. I know it is to a lot of people. If you have a question, 844-322-2742, you can call that number anytime, 24 hours a day, as Jose did, and we would love to address your question here at Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. This question from Al says, I know you believe once saved, always saved, but if that is true, why are there so many commands in the New Testament saying don't do this and don't do that? If I'm always saved, he says, then it doesn't matter whether I obey New Covenant commands or not.
Well, that's really a crazy question. It borders on ridiculous when you think like that. You know, sin has never been good for anybody.
No.
Mm-hmm. There's not a single person that hasn't been severely injured internally by the sins that they commit.
Yes.
That's just the nature of sin. That's just the nature of our enemy. He's here to steal, to kill and destroy. And sin is what brings those things about in our lives. So why would God tell us to do this and not do that? Well, it's simply for our good. It's for our benefit. I mean, God already has an abundant life. He wants us to have one. And certainly engaging in gratifying the desires of the flesh, choosing to be judgmental, over being loving, choosing to use hurtful words, it's not going to benefit you, and it's not going to benefit anyone else. Now, if you do engage in those things, if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation not only for your sins, but the sins of the whole world. He's already shed his blood. Mm-hmm. He's already stood in your place and took the punishment for your sin, so you don't have to. So now he wants you to really embrace this new life that you have in Jesus. You went from death to life. You went from darkness to light. Doing the deeds of darkness in the light, that's just misery. That is just sheer misery. I know, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. So God is interested in you. God wants you to experience the abundance of his life in and through you. That starts with a trust at the very core of who you are, and it manifests itself out in love one for another. That is the abundance of life. That's true freedom, genuine freedom, and that's when you are going to be the best you could possibly be. So, we look and we're always thinking about things from a legalistic standpoint, from a law-based standpoint. God's dealt with that. Now he's dealing with us on the basis of new life in Christ Jesus. So anything that he says to you is to help you experience that life to the full. Richard?
You talked at the beginning of the broadcast about this disruptive nature of the new covenant. This is one of the areas where it's most disruptive. I get the Holy Spirit at salvation. The Holy Spirit is never going to leave me. But the Holy Spirit has the right to disrupt my life, to disrupt my thinking, and to say, Richard, what are you thinking here? Yeah. Why would you go down this path? It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt others. Why don't you let me lead you? Mm-hmm. Now, in the old way, I could say, well, the Spirit will leave me because I messed up, and I'll just ask for forgiveness, and he'll come back. No, that's not how it works. The Spirit lives inside of us. The Spirit, therefore, has permission. And thank God he's got permission to disrupt my life.
Yes, indeed.
And solve these kind of problems.
Yeah. Well, great question. Let me go to this one from Don in Marietta, Georgia, who wants a quick explanation of the doctrine of total depravity. We talked a little bit about that last week, but it's something that's worth talking about and mentioning again. Total depravity is just a theological term to describe our condition as lost people, when we were lost. So when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they entered into a fallen state, and they passed that fallen state onto all of us, and that's what total depravity is. It doesn't mean that we're as bad as we could be. It just means our condition is, we're dead. We're dead spiritually, and we need someone from the outside, from the heavenlies, to come down and save us. And that's exactly what Jesus did. So it simply is a reference to our spiritual condition of death.
Indeed. Well, friends, thanks for being with us for Basic Gospel, everybody. And as we close the program today, let me remind you that if you have received the life of Jesus Christ, you have everything you need for life and godliness right now. In a CD message by Bob Christopher, he digs deep into 2 Peter chapter 1 to reveal the power and the promises that you have and in and through the divine nature of Jesus Christ. We'd love to send you a copy to say thanks for your support. You can request your copy when you make your gift to support Basic Gospel in the month of November, and you'll find all the ways to make that happen when you visit our website, basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. Remember, too, that if you have a question between now and our next broadcast, use our 24-hour listener line. That number is 844-322-2742. It's always available for you, and we'll talk about your question on the air. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or drop an email to bob at basicgospel.net. Either way is a great way to get your question to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.